Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends and family in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in. Another great topic, and of course, another great guest. I'm excited to bring back Brianna Claussen. She's, well, founder, president, and editor-in-chief of Harbinger's Daily News. The website, of course, harbingersdaily.com. We're so thankful for what a great website, what great information. I don't know how they keep up with everything, but we're going to ask her about that. Brianna, thank you so much for being back on the podcast. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we get to some of the topics, I want to bring up our first podcast with you. I'm glad to connect with you. It was called Overcoming Lies in Media and Compromise in Christian Media. There, Jeff just showed us how to get to that first one. Go to worldviewmatters.tv and type in Brianna Claussen, and the first episode will come up, and then this one. But anyway, it's so great, the work that you do. It's just taken on new life, especially with the current conflict over in Iran. Before we jump into some of the articles and topics, how do you keep up with everything? I know you have a staff there, but it's a small staff. My goodness, it must be kind of exhausting. You have to pick and choose what to go with and when. Explain that process for people that have no idea how it works.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of hours, but when you're doing work in ministry, we should never look at it as the amount of hours that you're putting into everything. It's all about serving the Lord, and you don't really get any off hours from serving the Lord, and neither should we want any. So, you know, it's a lot of time and dedication into doing it, but I'm very grateful to the Lord for giving me the ability to reach people through this means, and I enjoy it very much.
So one of the big reasons, it's so great to have you on. And I was thinking right before we got on the podcast, I was thinking, do I have how many true journalists with the biblical worldview or people that I can go to that I have? I've got Alex Newman and I've got you. You know, not that you're a journalist, but with that news background and that desire for truth in media, and there's not a lot. So we need to discern as the body of Christ. Christians need to be more discerning than ever, because you mentioned a few before we got on the podcast of how we've got to really be careful what we're hearing, even from influencers and formerly, I don't know, I'm talking about Tucker Carlson now. You know, maybe he's a Christian, maybe he's not. I think he is, but I don't know where he's at. He just went down just what we can call a wrong path now in his lies and the propaganda that's out there. And people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. There, you know what? Let's just start with that one. That's a good place to start, because I loved the way Ambassador Mike Huckabee responded to, really, it wasn't an interview, it was an interrogation. It was like an attack. And Brianna, you wrote about this, and in one of these articles over at Harbinger's Daily, Calculated Lies Against the Jewish State, and you talked about that venomous inquisition, you called it. I think that surprised a lot of people, but I'm so glad for the way that Mike Huckabee responded in truth and love. Go ahead and share whatever you'd like about that.
Well, I think the first thing I would say with Tucker Carlson is, you know, while we're not supposed to judge somebody as to whether or not, you know, they're saved, the intentions of their heart, the Bible does say that we can know by the fruit. And the problem that we've seen very recently with Tucker Carlson is, I think that the things that he's saying are quite deliberate. When he went to go and do the interview with Mike Huckabee, he went into the Israeli airport, the Ben Gurion in Tel Aviv. He didn't leave the airport, and he came out after, before the interview was released, and said that he was wrongfully, you know, detained at the airport, and that they were mistreating him. And, you know, Israeli airport authorities came out after and said that's absolutely false. Mike Huckabee said it was completely false, that they were just, you know, following standard procedure. And there was also footage that came out that showed Tucker Carlson, you know, laughing and smiling and taking pictures with some of the Israeli officers that were there. But so it that shows that's a great groundwork for the interview because it shows that it's deliberate lies. It's a deliberate attempt to change and distort how people see the nation of Israel. And Mike Huckabee, he handled himself very well.
Oh.
But I mean, he was not allowed to respond to any extent, really. And that was a problem. And anytime that, you know, Mike Huckabee actually got the ability to go into a subject, Tucker would pull him in a different direction. And, you know, Mike Huckabee called it a gotcha and an interrogation, as you said. And he actually had to go onto social media afterward and elaborate because he was given no time to respond on what his actual answers to these questions were. And it's a reminder also to conservatives, you know, I would stay away from jumping on board with doing an interview with Tucker Carlson, because especially on this topic, there is nobody there. He is one of the most qualified, if not the most qualified person on the planet to be arguing in defense of Christian Zionism. He, you know, he served as a former pastor, Mike Huckabee. He was the former governor of Arkansas. He's been in politics for a length of time. He's been to Israel dozens and dozens of times. And he's now the U.S. ambassador for U.S. ambassador to Israel. So he's defending this on a daily basis. If anybody could have, you know, put Tucker in, you know, in a line and bested him in, you know, an interview, it would have been him. But the reality is that you're just going to be treated with disrespect. You're just going to be cut off. And there's no point in any more conservatives, you know, piling on to join him in that.
Yeah, I think they know what they can expect now if they do, you know, accept an interview. I mean, it's really interesting. I used to watch him when he was really more of a truth defender and proclaimer, Tucker, years ago. But he took a page. It seems like his tactic and how he interviewed at least Huckabee and a few others read out of the Democrat Socialist Media playbook. Just attack, accuse, don't give an opportunity to respond, and just let your talking points go out. And that's what the other outlets pick up. But let's move on, Brianna. Speaking of the Democrat Socialist Media, away from Harbinger's Daily now for a moment, and this is a reason to be discerning and for a reason to have more people do what you do. Let's go over to, let's go to CNN first. And this is a story over at Fox News and other outlets. I don't know who this is because I don't watch the Communist News Network, but Abby Phillip, she lies, and she claimed, she had to apologize, I guess, now, but she claimed that the New York City terror attack recently was by Republicans, and it was against Zoran Mamdani. And so finally she apologizes, but this is just not only irresponsible, but she didn't know the facts. She didn't get them. She went out and she apologized and said that she didn't have the right whatever wording of it first. And she, anyway, this is just so sad, but she's on a major, well, not major anymore, Brianna, but anyway, she's on a minor cable network, CNN, and she puts this out there, not surprising, but just another reason for us to just avoid these outlets, right?
Yeah. And they distort and twist reality. Even when they're reporting on breaking news, that's usually a time where people are just, you know, it's so fast moving. They haven't been able to figure out what the spin is yet in a lot of cases. But you got to be so careful with your wording, because even an article that doesn't look overtly biased, when you're reading it from CNN, MSNBC, any of these places, you know, there's so many subtle wording changes that they add in there, such as like claimed and, you know, allegedly, you know, and even the order that they give you of events is all designed to give the reader an impression about how they should feel about what they're reading. And when it comes to anything like the war in Iran, anti-Semitism, they have a direction that they want you to be thinking.
Yeah.
They want you to be thinking with Trump that, you know, he didn't try the diplomatic solution with Iran, and that, you know, this military action was too far and beyond his powers as a president and all of that. So you got to pay attention to who they quote. You got to pay attention to the order of things, how they word it. And it's best to just avoid them altogether, because a lot of people think, well, for some things, I'm still going to go to these bigger groups, you know, the Associated Press and all of that.
Oh.
But just there's so much deception interwoven into any of these. And you have a lot of these groups, even unfortunately, conservative groups like Newsmax and Breitbart, that very regularly use articles that are really filler articles that they purchase from the Associated Press. And I tell you, I'm half a sentence in before I'm like, okay, so this is AP. You know, you can tell right out of the gate just by the little ways that they word it to try to, like, the impression that they're trying to make.
Well, you can. A lot of people apparently can't, but the AP, I mean, it used to be reputable, maybe in the 80s and 90s, not anymore. I mean, they're so uber liberal and biased. But by the way, so Abby Phillip, the CNN person, apologized via tweet over on X first, and that failed, I guess. And then she had to apologize on the air. This is just, it's a circus. So now let's go over to Media Research Center now over at Newsbusters. And here's just one example of the incredible bias over on the main networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. How long did they spend on the popular voter ID bill? Zero. They didn't even mention it. They didn't cover it. Now, let me explain this. This is the SAVE Act on voter ID. Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. SAVE Act. 70% of people support this, right? Because it has to do with voter integrity and voter ID. So if you're fair and reporting on this, you're going to cover it. If you're opposed to all things Trump, you could attack it or whatever. But what did they do? They pretended it didn't even exist. I'm talking about zero. All the major networks did not touch it. 0 seconds. That was...
Well, of course, they don't want to spend time talking about it because it makes sense. And it's going to be popular because everybody's going to say, well, of course, you need to prove who you are, who you say you are before you can vote. Isn't that basic?
Yeah.
You know, but they still, the Democrats still want to be opposing it. But it doesn't surprise me at all that they would spend no time in talking about it.
And by the
because
way,
it's a common sense law.
Yeah, it is.
That they're trying to put in place.
So I don't have this list in front of me, but you've seen the list. Most people watching or listening, you've seen the list of all the things that you need, either a voter, an ID or a driver's license, you need an ID for, I mean, I'm buying alcohol or just different things, not only to drive a car, but, you know, airports, getting a plane ticket, different things you need an ID, but not to vote. It's just like, wow, it's insane. I mean, the list is long.
Some of the most liberal countries in the world, the most progressive, wouldn't. Yep. Don't have any interest in, you know, making people vote and without, you know, actually requiring identification to prove who they are. So it doesn't make any sense that that wouldn't be required.
Okay, so we're going back to some of Brianna's articles now, at least over on Harbinger's Daily. Let's start with this one. This is actually from Decision Magazine. This is going to be a quickie here, Brianna, because this came out earlier this month. Trump administration sends warning letter to all 50 states as foster care system actively discriminates against Christians. We've known this for decades, but now we have an administration that's trying to do something about it. So this is a Joe Biden, liberal Democrat era rule that requires potential foster parents to prove that they will support a gender transition or the LGBTQ identity of their prospective foster children. And this is so discriminatory and so wrong. So that's what they're trying to do now. Your brief thoughts on this, and we'll move on.
I think that they know what they're doing. They know that a Christian is not going to be able to go along with that. And, you know, they're very much in favor of this, unfortunately, this perversion of children, this manipulation of children, pushing them into the into rejecting how God designed their bodies. They're trying to put children in rebellion against God right from the start, as early as they can. And they don't want Christians in the foster care system. And that article noted that there's a larger percentage of Christians that are willing to be foster parents and then, you know, all these other, you know, religious groups or atheists or But you're really alienating these individuals that are going to care and safeguard children against dangerous ideologies. And that's obviously not what they want. But it's Christians that are being targeted in that.
Yep. And this is nothing new, friends. We shouldn't be surprised by this. But when we see blatant examples of bias or discrimination, and it is against the biblical worldview or Christians, we need to call it out, or at least support people who are trying to raise awareness about this. So we're moving fast today, Brianna. This is going by way too fast. But let's move over to Iran now. And one of your articles that came out earlier this month, on March 2nd, President Trump is right. The downfall of Iran's regime is its unrelenting desire to practice evil. Let that headline soak in. Just sink in a minute, friends, because this is what they do. If everyone's saying, well, can you compromise with them? Can you make a peace treaty with them? Can you negotiate? The answer is no, because we understand underlying all this, it's spiritual at its root. Go ahead and share about the article.
Yeah. Well, so President Trump, when he announced the operation, he said, we tried to do diplomacy with Iran. We tried again and again and again. And he said the problem with that, the reason why the diplomacy didn't work, was because, quote, they just wanted to practice evil. And that is such a clear statement to come from a president.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what it is. It is a spiritual thing. This is an irrationality that comes with people who are demonically driven, ideology driven in these things. And one of the most dangerous ideologies in the world, this Islamic ideology, is so intertwined within the Iranian regime. They truly believe, the leadership of it truly believes, that they're going to, bring about the coming of their Mahdi, as it's called, or it's also called the 12th Imam, their version of an Islamic Messiah. And how they're going to bring that about is by attacking Jews and Christians. So that's, Israel and Western civilization. They're going to get that by striking terror into individuals across the world and causing chaos. And that's why they don't care about their own people. That's why they're so single-minded and irrational in what they're doing. And Eric Stackelbeck, host of the Watchman newscast and Stackelbeck Tonight, he does an absolutely fantastic job.
Yes.
But he pointed out all of the failures that Iran has experienced over the past 2 years since following October 7th. You have their Ring of Fire proxies that are there, and Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, and their proxies in Iraq and Syria also. They've been largely crushed by the IDF, by military operations over this time. The leadership of all of these groups is dead and long dead for quite some time. They are shells of their former self. That is completely embarrassing for the nation of Iran. Then you also have, every time that Iran has tried to attack Israel with ballistic missiles, the interception rate from the Iron Dome system has been unbelievable. And it's been such an abysmal failure that it's like over and over and over again, they're faced with these like just complete embarrassment, and yet they don't stop what they're doing. And then you had in June, you had the 12-day war where, Israel had complete control over the skies over Iran, complete control, and were carrying out precision strikes throughout that whole period of time. And it was concluded with the United States targeting three of their nuclear facilities. And then within Iran itself, you have unrest with their people, you have economic turmoil, and rolling blackouts and severe drought. And the point that he was making is, you would think that a rational nation would say, let's take a step back, let's, keep quiet for a little while at least. But that's not at all what we're seeing. And Eric Stackelbeck ended by saying, evil is relentless until it's utterly crushed.
Yes.
And that's the reality of this. They're so irrational in mindset. They do not care about their people. They do not care about anything that they are suffering. They are pouring all of their money into funding terrorism, all of their money into pursuing their goal of destroying Israel and Judeo-Christian Western civilization. And Benjamin Netanyahu warned all the way back, you know, in 2015, he stood before the United Nations, he stood before Congress when they were putting forward the, you know, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA under the Obama administration. And he said, you know, this supposed diplomatic solution is not going to do anything. And the reason why is because you're not actually addressing the bad actions that are here. You're not saying that a deal is predicated on you not continuing to fund terrorism. You're not saying that it's predicated on you not causing terror abroad or seeking to, you know, annihilate the nation of Israel. They should have been required in all of that to change those actions and become a less radical regime in order for a deal to be made. But they're not willing to do that. They weren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And just like Benjamin Netanyahu warned then, that delay in period of time where Iran, they provided sanctions relief and Iran said, okay, we're not pursuing nuclear weapons. It just made Iran stronger and it made their proxies more deadly also. And Trump had it right. I saw an article from Christianity Today that basically blamed Trump for Iran and the state that it's in today by saying that, oh, it's because he left the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal. And that's the reason why we're seeing, you know, such an aggressive Iran. And it's just, it's nonsense. But I don't expect much from some, you know, Donald Trump, so like illogically thinking groups, very ideology driven within like Christianity Today.
Yeah, Christianity Astray. We mentioned them the last time we had you on the podcast when we talked about compromise in Christian media. And there are way too many outlets that have gone progressive and left and woke or whatever. But back to your article, you bring in the spiritual dynamic, and this is important to remember. Who's driving Iran? Who's driving their leaders? Remember Satan? He fell because of pride. So pride is causing them to act even more arrogant, more boastful, as Stackelbeck said. But you go on, and I'm quoting you in the article, it says, but how do we know that the Iranian regime and its supreme leader were satanically motivated? Through God's word, we know that the devil is the father of lies, and a murderer from the beginning. Demonically driven individuals are often consumed with delusion. I love that, Brianna. Good wording there. Working against their own best interests. And then you say, Scripture also teaches that Satan has a relentless hatred for the Jews and Bible-believing Christians. Please elaborate on this for us.
Yeah, well, and another point that I make there is that people who are demonically driven, you know, we have examples from the Bible which show they work against their own self-interest. You have examples, unfortunately, in Scripture where it shows that people that are demonically possessed are throwing themselves into fires and cutting themselves and all these kind of things because you're so single-minded in being demonically driven in that. And that show that we see that within the nation of Iran, because they're not worried about self-preservation, really. They're not worried about their people, really. They're working against themselves. They're not thinking rationally. That was actually a point that Netanyahu also made in 2015, is he said, people are making a problem here because they're treating Iran like it's any other nation. And they're just not. Because and a big part of that is this, you know, false religion that they're in, false God that they're worshiping through Islam. And it's apocalyptic ideology that just wants to wreak havoc and terror. And it's obvious where that comes from. Obviously, Satan is the father of that. Satan hates the Jews. Satan hates that God has interwoven them into his plan of redemption for the world. He hates followers of Jesus, obviously, because he's because we're ambassadors for Christ and we're being salt and light in the world, or at least we should be. And but diplomacy was not an option with Iran. No. And there's such an irrational component there.
Yeah, that word keeps coming up, rational or irrational.
But
by the way, thank you for ending your article. We're running out of time already, and this is a good way for us to close or get close to closing here. Please remain in constant prayer about this situation, friends, for the protection and wisdom not only of our president and administration, but the nation of Israel, as well as our military leadership as they continue to carry out Operation Epic Fury. And then you quote 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Great way to close out the article and get our time together. But wrap us up in the last couple of minutes, whatever thoughts you'd like to share.
Well, praying for Israel, I think a lot of Christians don't understand that it's not just a suggestion. It's something that God calls us to do as Christians. We are called to love the Jewish people. We're called to pray for them and the nation of Israel. And right now they're facing coordinated strikes from Iran and Hezbollah. They're using, Iran and Hezbollah are using cluster munitions, which are extremely deadly, where instead of having just a straight warhead, they have submunitions that fire out indiscriminately from that. And they're a lot more difficult to shoot down by the Iron Dome. In fact, over 120 countries have banned the use of cluster munitions because of the problem with civilians being harmed as a result of them. But Iran doesn't care about that. They're specifically targeting the most populous areas. They're targeting Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And so prayer is so incredibly important, and letting the Jewish people that you know that you're praying for them and you're praying for the nation of Israel is also important. We need to be proper ambassadors for Christ by showcasing the actual love that God has for them. We need to not present them with the same version of Jesus that we see in replacement theology that presents Jesus as somebody who despises and rejects them. We need to show them that God loves them because Jesus loves them, and that Jesus is their promised Messiah, and that we love them and support them as a result. That is what draws people. That's what draws Jewish people toward the gospel, toward wanting to know more and ask questions. Amen. So that's really important.
Amen. Good way to wrap it up, Brianna. And by the way, friends, I didn't mention our conference yet in this episode. Brianna's going to come to Green Bay along with Alex Newman, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Jay Siegert, Jake Jacobs, Gary Kah, Scott Shera, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, and Elijah Abraham. WorldviewMattersConference.com and go to HarbingersDaily.com. Brianna, Lord willing, we'll do this again. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.